So today we celebrate the great feast of St. Patrick. For this country is a great feast, and many states have parades after St. Patrick, because many Irish people are here in this land. But in this diocese, it's a solemnity. It must have been a great place for many Irish people in this state. Knights of Columbus was founded in Connecticut, and certainly an Irish found association. And St. Patrick goes all the way back to the 5th century, and we think of him as a sort of a legend today. He's very a vague figure. He's just a reason to celebrate and to have parades and whatever. But he was truly a very great man, very great apostle, and God did wondrous things through him, all the miracles he performed, and the preaching and the tireless traveling he did all through Ireland, and the sufferings he went through, being captured 12 different times, his life being threatened many times, and he escaped all of it in a miraculous way. And here he was in a pagan land, and the Druid pagans hated him because he was putting them out of business and bringing a new religion that they weren't familiar with. But he, it was God's grace, of course, God's will that the Christian faith be spread throughout that whole land. He started in the north while he was at the age of 16. He was kind of lived like a pagan. He wasn't a practicing Catholic. His parents were Catholic. His father was a deacon even in the days when you could be married and it wasn't as developed as it is today. But so he was a Catholic, but he wasn't practicing really. And then he was captured as a slave, and he was a slave for 6 years in Ireland under a Druid priest, and spent 6 years. And he learned to pray then. And he said in his confessions that he prayed all day and all night long. He learned to do that, to pray. And he was a shepherd, and so he prayed out in the open air, in the cold, and throughout all the seasons there. And then after 6 years, his guardian angel inspired him to try to escape. And so he traveled 200 miles through Ireland. He got to the port, and it was eventually taken back to England and inspired to become a priest. And Laban met up with several saints who are bishops and who taught him many more things about how to do missionary work. And Saint Celestine the First, the Pope, appointed him to be the Bishop of Ireland. So he went off to do that missionary work in the land where he was a slave. And so he went to the northern part of Ireland, started there, and he was opposed from the very start, and wasn't discouraged, and continued to preach. And because of his holy life, he was able to, God worked miracles through him, and went from tribe to tribe, place to place, preaching and converting and baptizing so many people, so many churches that he established, and he even ordained priests and bishops throughout all of Ireland. And it's said that he appointed 350 bishops through all of Ireland. And the amazing thing is that he was able to do it without being killed, and that the Christian faith was accepted everywhere through all of Ireland, eventually accepted, and even during his lifetime. So we can see enormous success that is kind of rare. Many missionaries or saints don't have success when they're trying to spread the gospel. That's part of the success of their holiness, is that they are not successes. They're failures in the sense of in the worldly sense. We think of our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, the greatest failure, who was the greatest success in spreading the truth of his message, the gospel message to the world. I think it was Saint Joan of Arc. She tried to kick the English out of France, and she won a few battles, and then was captured and put to death, burned to death, and it looked like a total failure. And yet it was the catalyst to actually eventually winning the war against them and freeing France from England. Saint Louis the Ninth, going on the crusade and went to free the Holy Land. And yet he went down to Africa first, thinking that to stop the Muslims from there first would be the better thing. And he conquered Dalmatia and then was captured and defeated, and captured and kept a prisoner, and then had to go back sort of humiliated back to France and without winning his prize. And so many saints have those stories of not too much success many times of spreading the faith. And but we know that the seat of martyrs is the seat of Christians. But St. Patrick is a different story, that God wanted him to be virtually totally successful in spreading the faith in Ireland, and it's Catholicism has been strong there all the way to our day, although it's weakening now, unfortunately, but still there, still at heart, and hopefully will spring up again in a new revival. So we should look to St. Patrick not as a legendary figure, but a true apostle, a true lover of God, a true missionary, a true saint who carried out the teachings of our Lord to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And as we see in the gospel, St. Peter told by Jesus to throw out his net after he was not able to catch anything during the night, and then he was able to catch a great number of fish, so much so that he was afraid that he was unworthy to be in the presence of Jesus. But Jesus told him, don't worry, from now on you will be fishers of men, to catch many fish like you just did now, many men. And that's what St. Patrick did. He caught many fish and was very successful in the human sense as well as in the divine. And on the topic of success, I think, you know, we strive to be successful in our evangelizing, in our spreading the faith and serving God. We try to be successful in our own spiritual life to be saints, and we can see so many failures in our own efforts to be saints. So success is not always readily at hand, and yet God works through that. If we have this goodwill, we keep striving to be holy, striving to be a saint, striving to spread the faith, striving to bring all our loved ones to the faith, but we leave the success to God, and because it belongs to Him anyway, doesn't belong to us. Saint Patrick would be the first one to say he was not the one who was successful. It was God. It was God that made him successful, because again we look at all the other saints who were not. So I thought we could conclude on what soon to be Saint Teresa of Calcutta. What she said about success in different ways, how success is not our motive, it's not our driving force. Fidelity to God, doing His will, serving Him, loving Him, doing the best that we can, striving to be successful for the love of God, but not that's not our primary motive. Our primary motive is to do God's will and to let Him bring about whatever success there should be He wants to be, or failure for our sanctification, whatever. She said, "People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spent years creating, others could destroy overnight, create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous, be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway.
Fructum ventris tuum.